It is International Women's Day around the world, so we've got some very badass women joining the show today, including Diana Rossini from ESPN, who has been all over the NFL news, and she's a good friend of mine. Diana, we were going to try to talk the entire thing in our deep voices in honor of Allie LaForce, who has a very pleasing voice last night, but I don't think I can keep it up.
I hate that you just called out to the world that we're going to try to speak with our deep voices today, because I've been practicing all morning to keep it low. So to share with your listeners, Jen and I constantly talk about just incredible women in the business and reasons why they're successful. And we try to study them, which I think anyone who wants to be great does that. And we notice a pattern that women that are that do really well on television, especially, have beautiful, low voices. And unfortunately, I was blessed with a very large Italian nose. I've broken it twice. So no matter what I do, it always gets high and screechy. And I notice it all the time. And I think it's hurt my career. So I've peaked. I can't get any higher than this.
How did you break your nose twice?
For sure, sports.
Playing a sport, one stupidly and one actually in an actual moment of action. It was a corner kick in college, and I was following the ball, and my role as a striker was I always took the far post because I'm good in the air, and I was following the ball and couldn't see the post for whatever reason in my peripheral.
Oh no.
And I missed the ball and hit the post, and my nose just exploded.
Yeah, I can see how. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and that's a tough recovery after that because, you know, the funny part about all of it is, and I'll never forget this, is my teammates are all around me and they're like pushing people back. They're like, give her room, give her room. She wants to be on TV one day. She wants to be on TV one day. Like, that's all. They knew that, like, I had no career past college, you know, and no one was concerned about my moment in pain right then. It was all just, what is this going to look like after? And unfortunately, you guys know what I look like, and this is what it looked like, what it turned into.
Well, you guys need to start smoking cigarettes like I do, and then it just becomes very easy. But, Diana, what is going on with Dak Prescott down in Dallas?
Yes, I will go back to my normal voice, and I apologize that it's not as deep and beautiful as, you know, Allie LaForce and Lisa Salters and all those wonderful broadcasters that we watch all the time. So the Dak relationship with the Cowboys right now in terms of his agent talking to the organization, I keep hearing it's going well, that they're having good conversations, and they've been talking because that's actually interesting because, you know, a month and a half ago, that wasn't the case. You know, we kept hearing both camps, the conversations weren't going well. They didn't even want to talk. So now the fact that they've been talking over the last week or so, is a really, really good sign. Obviously, we know tomorrow will be the deadline on whether or not they will use the tag. And from what I can gather in terms of talking to both sides here, it seems as if everyone's prepared for him to get tagged, obviously, if this deal doesn't get worked out. But I know they're trying to get this long-term deal set. And it's going to be also very interesting to see if they can get it done, how this and what this is going to look like. Because we've been doing this for 2 years now, trying to figure out what it is that they can't agree on. And, you know, we've heard that it was the years. A year ago, I heard it was the money. This year, I was told it's not a money issue. This is years. And last year, there was similar. But this is really about the years on Dak's deal compared to the actual annual amount he's looking for.
How tough is it for teams to use the franchise tag when we don't know for 100% what the salary cap number is going to be?
You're hitting the nail on the head. If I talk to one more GM over the next few weeks that wants to, like, scream. And look, they have brilliant people working in their front offices who can kind of get an idea and figure what it could be. And I heard 185, then I heard it was 180 again. Now I'm hearing 183. And I was told that we should know that number right before the start of free agency, which is March 17th. So we have 9 days to then. So we should know soon. But you guys are seeing now, it just started last week. We've got restructuring of deals. We've got cuts. there's just so much turnover that's happening right now because everyone needs to try to get to that cap number, which is why this week is going to be so interesting, as will next week, because there's going to be so many more free agents on the market compared to years past, because there are teams that are looking at their rosters going, okay, essentially, can we win with this guy? If we can't, can we save money? And that's why you're going to see a lot of veterans getting cut over the next week, or actually over the next 3 days, really. And it's starting. I've had conversations already this morning. Like, get ready, buckle in, because the next few days you're going to see some big names.
Diana Rossini from ESPN joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Diana, what is the panic level amongst players? I know you talk to a lot of guys. Are people just kind of freaking out here?
Yeah, I've talked to some players who are – they want to be business savvy, obviously, about this. You know, I talked to one free agent, or at least he's expecting, yeah, he's going to be a free agent. I don't think his team's bringing him back. He's like, look, I'm just looking for a one-year deal. That's all I want. I just want a one-year deal so I can get back, get another bite of the apple next year when the cap goes back up. Everyone's kind of looking at it as like a wash. In terms of the older veterans, and when I say veterans, I mean starters. I don't mean just old guys that aren't playing. Guys that are part of the organization, major guys. Most are willing to restructure. They understand it. I talked to one guy who plays in Tampa, and he's going to be a free agent, and the tag could be a possibility for him too. And he's definitely he's not on edge. That's not it, because I think he knows he's going to get paid either way. But just the thought that he's not going to be back with the team that just won the Super Bowl, because they're really trying to keep that group together there. They want to stay together. So you have examples of that where they really just don't want to leave where they are. They're happy. But most understand this is business. This is how it goes, which, you know, you look at the Kyle Van Noy situation. I think if there's a perfect face for the position these teams are in, he's the best example. I mean, Brian Flores brought him there to set the culture. They had a great relationship in New England, and then they cut him to save money. And that really set this off of, okay, this is going to be a tough week.
Are the Packers going to tag Aaron Jones, or are they going to let him go?
I don't know. I do not know. Trying to figure that out. I mean, the fact that a deal isn't done yet and tags tomorrow, time is ticking here. You guys know the storyline there. You know how much they love him. You know how much they want to bring him back. But anyone I've talked to has said pretty much the same sentiment, which is we have to figure out if this can work. And something I'm not really used to in covering this time of year is how indecisive teams seem to be, which usually these guys are, they're such planners. They have a vision. I'm seeing it in New York with the Jets. I can't get an answer out of there about what they're doing at Sam Darnold, because everyone keeps saying the same thing is, we really don't know. We don't know what we're doing yet. Like, Joe Douglas has not made a decision. And that's just the environment we're in right now. And you pointed to the fact that we don't know that salary cap number. I think that definitely plays a hand here. But I'm definitely, obviously very interested to see on what they're, if they're going to use the tag on him, the transition tag, which you guys know that would really break from the Packers, decade long tradition of really not using either tag.
Diana, it's my understanding you did not watch the NBA All-Star game last night. My guess is you weren't watching the AEW wrestling pay-per-view either. So I just don't, was there something else on television that was worth watching last night?
Can you hold for a second? I have a couple index cards where I took bullet points on the show I was watching, because I really wanted to share this with you.
Sure.
So I reached out to Jen last night, or actually Jen reached out to me about Ali LaForce's beautiful voice, actually. She was complimenting her. She said, God, I love Ali's voice. And I was like, who cares about Ali LaForce? Why are you watching her? Put Oprah on. She's sitting with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Jen's like, I have no time for this. She's like, I'll DVR it. I'm like, do you understand what's happening right now? This is the most dramatic sit-down interview I've ever seen in my life. It was 2 hours of entertainment better than any series I've watched on Netflix over the last year. It was awesome.
What did you like about it? Like, because I went back and watched. I told you I would. I DVR'd and I went back and watched. And it, like, It was, these were bombshells that were being dropped last night with Meghan Markle and Oprah. Like, I was dumbfounded at some of the things she was saying about the royal family.
Nobody talks like that anymore in sit downs on television. I feel like everyone is so guarded and they have their own avenues to really express themselves but on social media, whether, you know, we see in sports, you know, the athlete, the Players Tribune is an outlet we see a lot of them go to. You very rarely get a network journalist or, you know, just a network, because I guess Oprah's on her own, but able to get that much information out of QE. And I think it shocked me how far she went with sharing all the family gossip, which I think I always had a weird interest in it because my parents named me after Princess Diana. So I think I always kind of like,
there it is.
Weird.
That explains it. Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Egomaniacal way to put it, but that's the truth. And I was really surprised. I mean, she handles herself, I thought, very well, but you just don't see that anymore. And I think that's why you were shocked. I was shocked. And we overuse that phrase, must watch TV. That was the must watch interview of this year, without a doubt.
I'm excited to see what the numbers were on that. Well, Diana Rossini, thank you so much for joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hopefully my voice is calming and soothing and not at all shrill and unappetizing.
Thank you so much for having me. I will talk to you guys soon. I have to go have a smoke break. Goodbye.
Diana Rossini from ESPN joining us this morning to talk all things NFL and the royal family.